Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, hello. How are ya?
Hey, hey. I just watched Girl with a Dragon Tattoo last night, the David Fincher one.
Ooh, was it a good revisit?
Simon had never seen it, so I was excited to watch it with him. And I hadn't seen it since I saw it in theaters, but it was great. But it's cute. Every time she walks into a room of someone she knows, she goes, hey, hey, which is, I thought was like a cute
character choice.
She's not like Swedish in that movie, right?
No, they're Swedish, but they speak American.
Love.
Which I was kind of like, I mean, they were doing accents, which felt kind of cheesy. So I was like, either just change it. Don't like Americanize it. Like just do it in America, or like don't put American actors in Sweden. Like just have,
I love when anyone, like when a movie's set in somewhere like Sweden but all the actors do a British accent,
yeah,
to make it still seem like
they do like a
Euro
mid-Atlantic accent. It's like just mm-hmm. hire, I don't know. But then it was like, but then just, when I watched the show Chernobyl, they all had British accents, and it was great.
Yeah. My buy-in was 100%.
Yeah.
Chernobyl.
I was like, they're Russians. But I was kind of like...
Look at them. Look at these Russians.
Look at these Russians. The best Instagram ever. But I was just like... The more I was thinking about it, I was like, why didn't they just... Because they had the... I didn't see the Noomi Rapace one, which apparently is incredible, but... Like,
oh yeah, I haven't seen those either.
The actual Swedish version, but I was just like, why not just set it in like Michigan or Illinois, where it's really cold? Have it set in
New
Chicago.
New York in the winter
during the polar vortex.
Upstate, yeah.
Oh my god, I got so triggered. My New York. No one opens the door for a native New Yorker. Did you ever see Wendy Williams as Lips on The Masked Singer?
No.
Singing.
No.
What? You didn't see Lips?
I mean, I saw her like costume, but I didn't ever watch. I'm like very anti The Masked Singer. I like truly stand against it and will never, like, I can't.
The only time we don't stand for mask wearing is on The Masked Singer.
Yeah, I'm firmly anti mask singer.
Wait, listen. You're gonna shit when you hear this. You're gonna shit. Don't you hate when people say that? You're gonna shit.
You're gonna shit.
You're gonna shit bricks.
You should know the score by now.
This is the part.
Wow.
So that's so going forward, whenever I go, you're a native New Yorker, I'm talking about lips. Wendy Williams, diva.
Old Lips McGee, Wendy Williams.
Songstress. Isn't that incredible? Just her belting it in a huge lip costume. Like, I've never seen my friend Alex Better, who is a really funny comedian on Twitter. He sent me a mask that had the lips like on it. Like, he got
that's
it.
Mage.
But I had like
Wendy, a Jill of all trades,
right? But I had a Jill of all trades. I had
what can't she do?
I had a flash to New York when I saw a CNN headline that said the polar vortex is coming, and I was like, oh, because I in New York. They always used to talk about the polar vortex coming.
It's always on the horizon when you're on the East Coast, and especially on the Isle of Manhattan or an outer borough.
Speaking of Manhattan, we need to talk about the return of It's Happening, guys.
It is happening. Okay, not to toot my own horn, but beat fucking beat, because I really feel like I led the charge in this resurgence.
You did. You were one of the pioneers.
In my own underground way, like, even though maybe only a few thousand people listened to episodes of Saving Sex in the City 3, my passion project podcast, go listen to it now on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm on one.
Like, Carrie did one that's iconic. Like, so many iconic people were involved. And I think that it just, like, percolated beneath the surface and infiltrated the subconscious of many. And now here we are.
The real heads know. And it's happening. They're doing their Sex in the City, the next chapter for HBO Max. It was announced.
A reboot.
It was announced on Sunday evening by all three, minus Sam.
Participating ladies.
Sarah Jessica.
But it's also not called Sex in the City. It's called And Just Like That.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called And Just Like That. It's not called Sex in the City.
I thought it was called Sex in the City, the next chapter.
I think it's called And Just Like That.
You're fucking kidding.
I'm not kidding, Carrie. I like have watched the thing a bunch of times, and it's like a revisit, but it's like,
come on.
Like, their Instagram handles and social media is And Just Like That HBO.
Oh,
like,
my
it's
God,
like
you're
it's like
so
an
right.
And Just Like,
it's on IMDb. I'm,
yeah, it's called And Is It Am I Right?
It's And Just Like That.
Am I right? Am I fucking right?
Am I fucking right?
Yeah, so I think I'm excited, obviously. Like, I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna eat it up. I'm gonna love it, even if I hate it. There's no question in my mind. Like, I already stand, and nothing will stand in between me and my queens. But I do really worry tonally about what they're about to place on our shoulders. And I think it's gonna be such a departure from the Sex in the City we know and love. And also, what's crazy to me is that the universe that they're kind of building and presenting to us is in such, like, opposition to where we left off with these women and the end of Sex in the City 2. Like, the women that we're going to see in Just Like That are the same women that went to Dubai Abu Dhabi 10 years ago and, like, had to sneak out of the country wearing burqas because they, like, Samantha, like, fondled some guy's crotch at a restaurant. Like, those two things exist simultaneously, and I feel like we're gonna be asked to pretend that they don't.
We're gonna be asked to pretend that they didn't, like, insult a whole culture and, like, basically, like, be banned from a country.
Do physical comedy with condoms.
Be banned from a nation because you were insulting every single group of people imaginable in one movie.
I mean, I love it. I love the duality of that universe, and both things being true at once is an exciting area to live in. As a Gemini, it speaks to me. I'm excited. I'm congrats to the team. I'm kind of Kim, fuck you for this. Can you just come back?
I keep thinking I know there has to be one plot where Carrie gets canceled or writes something that goes viral for the wrong reasons or there was 9/11 erasure on the TV series. They kind of winked and nodded in that episode, only in New York or whatever, where a leaf is falling and she big moves to Napa. Right. And she's
mm-hmm.
So they kind of it was sort of an homage to the city, but they were decidedly 9/11 was not a reality in that New York.
It didn't 9/11 didn't affect these ladies at all.
So they
oh, that's sad and fucked up, but let's go shop.
And it is today. I wonder if that would have been because I guess they were trying to say we need to they want to keep the image of the New York they knew, but in today's world, in a post present COVID world where it's affected New York so much. Can they get away with that again is what I want to know. Are they going to have the pandemic? I'd be interested to see. I'm a little right now. I'm a little sus of any pandemic content, but I am interested to see Miranda navigating COVID.
I think that this feels very COVID reactive of how strong, it felt to me, a house New York is strong, New York COVID strong kind of vibes.
Totally.
I mean,
and it is the most, it's such a resilient city. And but
at the same time, placing, it's I'm oscillating between I don't need to see that. And also I do want to see that because I think it would be a long-term kind of mistake to include COVID in the narrative because then it grounds it too much, and very much timestamps it exactly in 2020 or whenever it's set.
I see that.
But I don't see how you kind of can't bake it in. I don't know. I think it's, I mean,
they could just allude
I think
to
it's
it.
Going to be a mess.
I know Carrie would wear a mask, not touching. She would wear it almost a binoculars at an opera, over her.
A hand held up.
Mm-hmm. And she would always.
Or an Hermes scarf. She could get really. I think she would do the.
Oh, yeah. I want to see.
Scarf mask.
She would go wild. But I know. I feel like either her or Charlotte would forget to wear their mask. In places, and then I could see Charlotte getting yelled at.
I mean, I guess there is some comedy. I'm just wondering where the comedy is going to come in because it really did not feel like comedy to me at all in that preview. I was where's the applause? Where's the laughter?
We ride and die for SJP, but we know she's a sentimental queen and she loves her city and she. Her Instagram posts, which have at times brought me to tears because they're so mm-hmm. they're so schlocky and cute. She's a producer on the show, so she's. I think they probably all are producers at this point, but she. I think Sarah has a lot of input into what. I think she has a lot of input, so I could see her being I would love a sentimental love letter to New York. Which,
and when you take
which you can do by being funny, too, like the original show.
Yeah. When you take the main source of lols and comedic relief out of the equation,
it's going to be...
I don't know what you're left with. I have really high hopes, and I just either want it to be fucking incredible, so deep and thoughtful and groundbreaking, or I want it to be like a fiery train wreck. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to like lie in this middle ground. I don't think it will lie in a middle ground. I don't know. I mean, only time will tell. They're really like, I love that they're breaking form, and I'm excited to see what they do. Because, and maybe what if this is like the next, what if this lasts for six seasons and they just do a full revisit sans Samantha, and it's like a serious like Euphoria style drama.
I'm like,
they're gonna kill Samantha. Like, they have to kill her. There's no, I don't there's want like her to, no
I,
world.
She can't, you can't kill her. I feel like you could, she could be like missing.
I think that, no, that gives her then a plot. I mean, we'll see. I feel like they're going to just do one sweeping, like in the opening voiceover, it's going to be like, and we said goodbye to some old friends. And like, they all throw like flowers on a grave or something. And it's like very much like moved on.
They all throw flowers like off the pier and like Christopher Street Pier, or like down by like the meatpacking where, yeah, where she haunted.
Because like, I think giving, I would hope, I would love if they kept it open and it was Samantha was missing and it promised maybe a return of her. But I also am like taking into account all the pettiness that's occurred. And I think that I could really see it just being like, okay, you want to close the door? The door's fucking closed and she's dead and there will never be like a comeback for you.
I mean, Sarah Jessica's like on a rampage with comment, replying to all comments on the Instagram. Like, she's so excited, but she definitely she's just like, anytime someone, she's like, we're so excited too, X. You know, she's always saying like, yes, we love it, X. And then a few times she was like, we're open to any option, any suggestions about Samantha. So she's like, she's getting petty in her way.
I want, okay.
I know.
The dream of a lifetime is that Kim comes to her senses and like something like beautiful magic happens and she comes back.
It's not going to happen. She.
We can hope. I mean, everyone said, all the haters said like SATC 3 wouldn't happen, or there would never be, they would never get, do it again. And I always held a candle and was like, just you wait.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
My whole thing is like, she's dug her line in the sand so deep that like she kind of can't. But at the same time, if she just randomly flipped on a switch and was like, okay, I'm gonna do it, everyone would be happy. No one would care. Like, everyone just be so
happy. No one would be mad. No one would hold a grudge. Like, everyone wants their four girls together again.
There is, and Samantha is one of the best characters ever. Like, she's so deeply funny and like flawed and proud and human. Like, she's just so great, and it will be deeply felt, and it is very like iconic for Kim to know that and to leave a space. Because she wants, it's her way of like getting back at SJP.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm glad that it's like, it seems like it's fast tracked, because I feel like I just read like they are thinking about doing it, or they bought it, but now it looks like it's like fully happening.
I'm sure they've already,
year.
I mean, I feel like they've probably already had stuff written in the works, and they're now just probably like, I don't know what the process is going to be like, but like they had to have had like a whole storyline already. And like, I mean, I think Sarah Jessica said they did for the third movie, but I'm 10 episodes, baby. Like, shoot it into
it's 10.
10 fucking episodes. I just read an IMDb.
Oh my God.
Like, literally.
Put me in a fucking coma
and
shock me back to life when this shit is out.
Seriously, it's to know that former candidate for the governor of New York, Cynthia Nixon, will be in a show. It's just like, she's larger than,
honestly,
she's gotten larger than life in my eyes, and like, just to knowing that she's coming back, if she could run for governor and still make time to play Miranda, like, come on, Kim, come on, what are you doing?
I am now very glad that she lost
her bid,
because it opened, when God closes a door, he opens a window, is what I was raised being told. And this is truly the window we all needed. 2021 looking up vaccinations, mm-hmm. and just like that.
And just like that. Call it Sex and the City. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Call it Sex and the City. Call it Sex and the City.
And just like that, the first episode is Samantha died.
And just like that, Samantha is dead. Lost at mm-hmm. sea. She and Smith went like on a boat ride and it sank or something.
Yeah.
Because they'd still be fuck buddies.
Maybe Samantha got COVID. And it took her out.
Samantha would be firmly anti-mask.
I think she'd be pro-mask. Because remember that episode where she
also like, went through cancer.
She got an AIDS test and she was like terrified. And like then it really made her rethink like safe sex. Like I think Samantha's all about like safe.
She is safe.
Like Samantha would still like... have a She'd train run on her, but everyone that came over would wear a mask and a yeah. condom. Or she'd yeah. get into like latex, like a full body latex covering. And
oh my God, like she would get into latex like, play. She would turn the restrictions of this time of like safety, you know, proper like protective gear, PPE, and turn it into like sex stuff for her to have fun with. Like she would wear like
yeah.
she would find ways to like explore herself while being safe and respectful to those on the front line. And she would
like find ways. Like I feel like there's technology, you like plug it into your computer and it's like a dick that like fucks you while you're like FaceTime sexing with someone. Like Samantha would be on the forefront of technology of and like safe sex and like finding new creative ways to fuck. Yeah.
She would be in the forefront of like digital fucking, like this yeah. world of like lockdown and quarantine. She would find ways to like get railed and like and rail. And
if anyone's anti-mask, it would be Charlotte. Yeah, she's like the most conservative out of all of them.
Yeah. Charlotte would like yeah.
Anywho,
but
color us excited.
We're really
and just
excited.
Like that.
And just like that,
Lauren Carrie, we're excited for and just like that.
And just like that, I'm Carrie.
I'm Laura.
And you're listening to
sexy,
unique
podcast.
Insatiable bitch goddesses. Just wow. like that, a family came together. And just like that.
And just like that, I wear my hat.
I saw a video of Melania. Like, they're like, I think her and Gia and the girls are all in Italy for like months to be with her dad. And they're just Love. Like, they're just like traipsing around the cities of Italy. And there was one video of Melania walking out of a door and saying, like, I'm done here. And she said it in Italian. And she just like walked out and just walked. Joe was like, hey, where you going, Melania? And she, like, said some, like, Italian phrases that meant, like, we're done here. And I was just like, damn.
Basta.
Look at them go.
I love that family. A family of beautiful girls. Gia literally is a supermodel now. She's, like, replaced, like, her glamour shots. I mean, I know that she got, like, a nose job or whatever. I think she was pretty before and pretty after. Like, it doesn't make a difference to me. But she's just serving hair and face and like glamour shot realness in every photo of her on social media. And I'm just like, wow, these girls have blossomed into beautiful young women.
Yeah. I was, you know, I admire Gia for being so candid about the work she had done. And
hey,
she's doing what she wants to do.
Yeah. Live your truth.
Speaking of beautiful gals, this episode of Rock of Love was, again, very long. So much happens.
It actually felt like kind of short to me. We flip-flop. When it feels long to you, When you go long, I go short.
Yeah, it felt very long to me. But maybe because it had something to do with football, and I like my eyes glaze over anytime people play football.
Yeah, I found myself entranced by the football and enraptured, and I was truly like, if football was like this, I would be so into fucking football.
Do you know my dad, when he was in college, because he played football, he coached an all-women's football league.
A league of their own.
A league of their own.
Football edition.
He was the Tom Hanks.
Incredible.
That should be more of a thing, right?
I was like, yeah, how can we do football with women without, I don't need them to, tackle each other or give each other, CTE. Like, I just would like them to compete for, you know, the affection. Maybe every football game is women just competing for the affection of a man.
Of Brett Michaels.
For Brett Michaels.
Brett is...
For not even an affection, just a date with someone.
Brett is just continuing
I actually think that if every football game was just like the winner and the MVP of a game gets a date with someone that could be anyone, mm-hmm. not limited to we're no gender limitations, just a date. And then you have all the people wanting to date this person mm-hmm. competing. Like that would give me the buy-in I need to get into football.
I get what you're saying. I'm continuing to just be like everything that they do is just Brett's. I mean, it's his show, so I guess, but it's always you think he's going to take them to a sweet dinner at a restaurant. He takes them to get pinup girl off, which is hey, it's the vibe of the show, but it's always what he wants them to do and wants them to wear.
Yeah, I think that you're getting now a real glimpse. And by the end of this episode, it was a very, very clear of what it would be like to date Brett Michaels. And mm-hmm. I am not down, but I love seeing the women who are down. And I respect their decision and their a love for him.
So getting into it, this is Mud Bowl, the second annual Brett Michaels Rock of Love Mud Bowl. The women are getting, Brett calls the remaining women the Divine Nine.
And, I love.
Which is DOS.
This episode is very DOS adjacent. When they all get the memo from Big John, the note from Brett that says get ready to get dirty. And Catherine, our queen, goes, I'm a Montana girl. I've been getting dirty my whole life.
Catherine's just always looking. Catherine just has her sunglasses on at all times and is always just in pain, I think, from being around people who are 10 to 12 years younger than her. But in this moment, she came alive.
She came alive this episode, and this was the first time that we really got to get a sense of her, and I love what I'm seeing.
I
ride or die.
I'm also convinced that Catherine is a lot older than she even says she is, but
she's definitely 57.
But she looks great, and I'm loving her energy, so I love it. I love what I see. I love Amber looking so scared. She's so wired.
Amber's facial reactions,
she's
huge.
Amber's up at 4 a.m. doing wall sits
mm-hmm.
and planks. She's just up and at 'em, jacked and ready to go every morning.
Everyone piles into the limo to get taken to the game or the site of the challenge. And I just noticed, I couldn't help but notice, that all the girls are bruised. Yeah. All their legs are bruised. I was what's with all these bruises?
Yeah, what is what
they've
was
really
that?
Been put through the ringer.
Yeah, it's I think just being in this house, you just walk into things. There's no soft, it's all sharp. cold,
sharp edges everywhere.
Yeah, so you're just always like walking into corners, and I do bruise very easily, so I'm sure I would be very bruised. And that's not a brag.
Just keeping it real. Just keeping my bruise status real and being transparent about my bruises.
Mm-hmm. Last year I was getting just like in my annual doctor's checkup, and like you get blood work for if you're on PrEP, and mm-hmm. They were like, you're all good. And then they were like, you do have anemia though. And I was just like kind of shocked, because I believe people who have anemia, but like I just always was like, oh, is that like, how do you get anemia? Because I didn't really understand. And I like mm-hmm. he was like, you have a mild case of anemia. So now I'm like very cognizant of that, and like try to eat more red meat.
That's an iron deficiency, right?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, it actually makes sense, because I do like get like super bruised, and like I guess I don't eat enough iron, but I think you can be anemic for a little bit and then like get over it. So maybe just in that period that was my anemia.
Yeah,
period.
If you just like have low iron, yeah. Your anemic era.
But I was like driving down Santa Monica, and I was like, wow, like things have changed for me.
And just like that.
And just like that, I was anemic. So.
Well, thoughts and prayers are with you during this troubled time.
That's so random.
I think you can eat like
thoughts and prayers are with
my
you.
Thoughts and prayers are everyone send Carrie healing energy during that this was, troubled time of anemia.
That was 2019, baby. That was not that was a long, long time ago. So I could
And
I
just might, like that and just Carrie like bounced that. Back from
and
anemia.
Just like that, I wasn't anemic anymore.
God, but, it is that is a real and just like that moment.
It is. To be anemic and then to not be anemic.
Brett splits the girls up, or he chooses two team captains. Catherine is going to be captain of the Sweethearts, and Destiny is captain of the Fallen Angels.
And a lot of this episode is going to revolve a lot around some of the women not feeling like they're getting enough one-on-one time, and mostly by Peyton, but also Catherine. So like there's the divide between those who really have gotten to know Brett and those who haven't is like very clear in this episode. So mm-hmm. Peyton is very anxious about
Peyton's having like crippling anxiety.
Yeah. I just want to get that one-on-one.
Catherine is thinking strategically from the jump, and she's like, I want Inna and Peyton on my team because I feel like they're big and they'll fight. And yeah. I was like, I love where her head's at. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really, like, she's three steps ahead of everyone else.
They're big and they'll fight.
And Brett introduces the twist in this year's Mud Bowl is that they have a wind, rain, and, like, snow machine.
Yeah, Brett's like, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and in Pittsburgh, we play football in every season. So I'm going to give a little slice of that here in, like, the Simi Valley or wherever the fuck they're... somewhere in the valley
in this muddy field.
And so they're gonna have like full like VFX going on, or practical effects,
like weather.
Industrial,
they're literally in the elements, they're in a snow globe. And Peyton says, my mission is to tackle like hell, run like hell, and get that date with Brett.
Also, Daisy, who I think has asthma, earlier was like, she was like, football. She's like, I don't want to get my ass kicked. And I was just like, that's where my head's at. Like, Daisy has the
right. Yeah, Daisy's like, she's too tiny for football. Like, I would be worried if I was her too, because she's about 4'11" and like mm-hmm. just a very petite little gal. Like,
she's a slip of a thing.
I also would not, like, my joints aren't strong enough to like withstand like slipping around. Like, I would tear an ACL.
Yeah, I mean, I've already discussed my football aversion, but like literally my hell whenever anytime like, hey, let's play a pickup game. And I'd be like, well, there's me going to go talk to myself in the corner or like going to go like find the girls, you know, like get me out of here. But I felt very like triggered for the people who were not into this. Yeah, my mission is to, but not Peyton. My mission is to tackle like hell, run like hell.
Run like hell and get that date with Brett. I also was like, what happens if you just don't know how to play football? Like, it's a very confusing game really to try and understand.
When later when Inna like throws the football after she gets it, like I've done that before. Like I'm just like, ah,
yeah,
you just throw it. Like just throwing it like a hot potato. It's like
taking a rugby approach. Yeah. So the way it goes is like, both team captains pick and pick and pick, and then one girl will not be picked and she'll have to sit out on the side, and it's like certain that she won't get a date with Brett. And so Megan is the one that's not picked, and she's like unbothered. She's like, I don't care. I want to go tan.
Megan gets picked last, and she, it's like the best thing you could have done for Megan. So joke's on you.
Wait, I need a one quick timeout for just like an update on VH1 viewing habits.
Do it.
So I have now blazed through I Love Money season 2. Highly recommend. It's incredible. Then I was like, what will I watch now? So I tried to watch Megan Wants a Millionaire because she uploaded a few of the episodes on her YouTube channel.
Love that.
I would recommend you watch just to see the dark place that it will take you to, because Ryan Jenkins, the murderer, is like heavily featured
I can't.
In the first episode.
I don't know if I can do it.
It's true. It's one of the actually the darkest things I've ever seen, because A, the crop of men that they get to compete is like so, it's like hideous garden gnomes that they dug up under a tree and like cast on the show. And like, it's so different from any show where women are, even like I Love New York, which I started to watch, but then I stepped away, but I'm going to revisit. Like the men that they chose for her were really hot. The men that they chose for Megan were truly, I've never seen such a like a sad crop of dudes. And then also one of them is a literal murderer. I'm like, the lowest that we could possibly ever go.
I don't know if I can do it. Just knowing that will like stir my soul.
It is shocking. It's shocking. Like I could only watch one episode and then I was like, well, that was interesting. Like got to move on. So now I'm watching Frank the Entertainer in a basement affair where he was competed on I Love New York season 1 and then was in I Love Money and then got his own dating spinoff where women have to move in with him and his parents and they're competing to like win his heart and get him out of living in the basement.
So it's like a failure launch like, kind of thing.
I'm just obsessed with like, you're competing for the affections of a man that lives in his basement is like truly
someone that's
peak
like
peak VH1.
Probably like an incel.
But also all these women are like hot compared to the Megan Wants a Millionaire crop of dudes. Like I'm constantly in shock.
They did her dirty, we'll just say.
They did her so dirty. Like unreal. Like not only is every guy so ugly and just like pretty vile, but one is an actual like murderer. So it's just like, you guys, like, do you think that you could have done like a little bit better?
Maybe a little more research.
Yeah, a little more research, or just like look into their past. It doesn't have to be a millionaire. Maybe the problem was they were not like, and I don't think all these guys are actually millionaires, but like maybe just stop. Maybe like let's cancel that idea and then just Megan wants a hottie. And then you actually choose like hot or Megan wants a CEO, or Megan wants an entrepreneur, or like there's a lot of ways to go around it.
Megan wants a nice guy.
Megan wants someone to love and respect her, and then just go based on that. Like,
yeah, I mean, but listen, we have to remember this was like the pioneer days of reality TV, so it was like wild, wild west out there. So like they were just
it was, and anyone, God bless it.
You could just like show up and like basically just had to have like a heartbeat, and you were cast on these shows.
Yeah.
So like a murderer is not. It's not that was the requirement. Is like you had to have. You had to be sentient. Maybe not even.
I mean, some of these men are like slightly resemble like a single cell organism. So
to be an TBD, you have to be an
that's
amoeba.
Even a requirement.
You have to be a. What are they called?
You have to have a spine. You yeah. can't be like you have to just have like the semblance of a spine or a backbone, just to like prove
you
that
have a skeleton.
You're not like a beetle. You cannot have an. You must have an exoskeleton.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. You cannot be an invertebrate.
But do you have an exoskeleton? And they're like,
I'm they're sorry.
Like, okay, you're cast. Are you a millionaire though? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, your net worth is not in the desirable zone for you to be cast on Megan Wants a Millionaire. And they're like,
hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Anywho,
where were we? Oh yeah, so Megan's picked last. She's on the sidelines. I just wrote Brett, just like Brett's the QB, so he's going to be throwing all the spirals, as they say. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they say. And I just wrote Brett's twisted pleasure. He just like throws the balls and then just laughs watching the girls like fall and like tackle each. Brett's just like like he's just a fucking typical just slob, like, man, just,
yeah,
loving seeing women like
get dirty and fight each other.
It's like funny to him. Yeah.
He does not, like, I feel like he is telling the wind and snow machine to like never be on him.
No,
like, he's always standing out of the fray because he's like wearing shorts and a long sleeve shirt and his hair is down, obviously.
It's,
but like,
snowing,
he doesn't ever
in the
look
valley
as dirty.
Like, this is in, like, it's snowing, he's bringing winter to the valley, and it's like, mm-hmm, it's ungodly and needs, like, in the valley it always has to be like sunny and warm, and he's bringing snow to the valley, and we can't have this. It feels
also
like,
my least favorite thing is when it rains and it's sunny outside.
Sun showers.
From a young age, I was taught that that was like a satanic thing. Like, the saying that I grew up with was, it means the devil's beating his wife.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of like various, I think, places in the U.S. have like their terminology for like
storms.
Sun showers and storm, like, when it, that thing that you call it when it rains and it's sunny outside, and that was like what they said in Oklahoma, or that's like what I heard. What did you hear?
I heard the, when it was thundering, the angels were bowling.
Love that. But what about, like, what did you call it when it rained and it was sunny? Just sun showers?
Just sun shower.
That's beautiful. See, I probably would have like a more positive association if someone had just said like, oh, sun showers.
I feel like I like played some game where I was like, call me sun shower. Like some, like I was like, I like used to play like imaginary games and like would love incorporating like weather into it. Like I always was, whenever my neighbors and I would play X-Men, I was like, I'm going to be Storm and I'm going to be Boy Storm. And my neighbors were like, you're gay. And it was just like, great. Like, basically, I didn't need to come out because I came out and I said, I'm going to be Boy Storm.
When he was in it, I'm going to be Storm.
Storm is the best one.
Storm is the only one worth being.
Yeah.
There's no other X-Men worth being.
Storm is the best, and there needs to be a Storm movie, but that's for another day.
Yeah.
So,
Amber, out of the gates, is like killing it. She gets a touchdown.
Amber's fucking great at football. Amber's like, she goes, I love football. This is my sport. I'm like,
she loves it.
Apparently it is.
Inna is shanking.
Brett calls Emma my Ukrainian love bus. And I wanted to, I literally almost like turn it off.
No woman wants to be called a love bus.
No,
don't. No woman wants to be referred to as like
a bus,
a large automobile. No woman wants to be really referred to as an automobile. I guess you could call it, it would be hot to like call a woman like your sexy Ferrari or something. But no one wants to be called a love bus.
I don't,
man or woman.
I don't think women, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like women don't want to be referred to as anything.
Yeah, just like a pretty lady. Yeah.
My Ukrainian love bus.
Amber then gets a second touchdown, and now Brett officially turned on.
It's really turned on. It sucks. Like, I know that would suck to be, like, I know I would be one of the people that's, like, kind of not making any dent in the game and just, like, watching this person owning, and you're just, like, seeing Brett, like, favor them, and you're just probably like, fuck. Like, I'm not popping up.
I would try, but it would be really hard because I'd be so worried about getting injured.
Well, yeah, Amber's
going ham.
Amber, like, before the game started, like, went behind, like, one of the public restrooms and just, like, slapped herself, like, a bunch of times and, like, got her adrenaline going. Jack, gotta jack myself up. And now she's, like, running on pure adrenaline where, like, you could, like, Amber could, like, she's so jacked up right now that she could, like, fling a car with one hand. She could, like, take a car and toss it. Like, she could, like, Amber could, like,
she could run through a brick wall.
Yeah, she's so, like, amped that she, and it's gonna, so she feels no pain right now, and it all catches up to her later.
Yeah, the fallen angels are really, like, shitting the bed, and then we cut to Christy Joe, who in this moment I was like, Christy Joe's been fully brainwashed. Her eyes are a little bit wider, and she's like, Brett wants a girl who's gonna win it for him.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what it takes. And then she makes a touchdown.
Yeah, Brett, like, possesses the girls, like, get possessed by something.
Because remember last episode, Christy Joe was really, like, waking up. She was, like, waking the fuck up and was like, oh my God, my life is in shambles. Like, what am I doing here? Yeah. And then something switched when she went into his room of hell. And then now she's been radicalized.
Yeah, it's like that movie Disturbing Behavior where they get, like, chips put in them and then they change their behavior. It's like something's happening to these ladies.
Something is amiss.
I'm reading my notes and everything's real time. So I'm like, everything I write is like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. And I wrote, Daisy just comes out of nowhere. Daisy, who's been sort of a flop the whole game, just immediately, like, goes into, like, Hulk mode.
She gets a fumble and catches a pass and gets tackled. And Brett goes, Daisy is gone, she wild. I'm like, what? Okay. Daisy's killing it and carrying her team.
And she ends up carrying them to victory.
Yeah. I just wrote, I love football.
You do. At the end of the game, the pink team or black team wins.
Yeah, the fallen angels.
The fallen angels. The pink team loses, and there's just this shot of Catherine with the rain still pouring, and she's just staring into the void. And you just hear her off in her interview, she goes, I want to die.
After, like, sudden death. And, like, I love, suddenly, like, in sudden death, the camera, like, the cinematography changed into, like, kind of like football game cinematography. And at one point there's, like, a cameraman in a poncho, like, walking around, and I was like, oh my God, like, I'm in it. Like, I'm in this game. I'm watching the fucking NFL right now.
Yeah, it was like very Friday Night Lights.
I was like feeling like a Jock Jams moment. Like, yeah. I was reminiscing on, like, growing up listening to Jock Jams all the time, and there's, like, that one soundbite that's like, he could go all the way. Touchdown. Touchdown.
Y'all ready for this? They would always play Jock Jams at swim meets.
I live for Jock Jams and Jock Jams 2. Jock Jams 3 didn't really live up to, like, the hype for me, but 1 and 2 were really, like...
Well, that's why I loved Grimes's...
Those were the soundtrack of my life.
I loved Grimes's Art Angels album because it felt like a Jock Jams album.
Ooh, I gotta go back a little bit.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah, some Azalea Banks songs sound kind of Jock Jams too.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm just looking for anything that puts me in a place of Jock Jams in 2021.
Yeah, if you guys have any suggestions, send them our way.
Amber is really deeply injured after this game is over. Like, her knees are just raw skin.
She goes to the medic. She goes, Are those painkillers? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, thank God. And then you look at her, her legs are just ravaged.
Her literal knees have been like rubbed off and are just like an exposed kneecap. Amber's going to put her body through hell. And at the end of this season, she'll just be a skeleton with like the flesh dripping off of it for like how much she's had to go through to get Brett.
Yeah,
to just choose her. Not even like date her, just like choose her.
She's like queen of knees.
Queen of knees.
So
then Daisy, he has an award ceremony and where he's like, Brett's like handing out the trophies to like the winning team and naming the MVP. And Daisy is literally like freezing. I couldn't stop looking at her. She's like shivering. She looks like she's on the verge of death.
He puts like a varsity jacket on her and she, it doesn't do anything. And she's just like convulsing. And cause it's probably freezing. It's almost dusk. Like it's, it gets cold and gets cold in LA, everyone.
And when the sun goes down, especially if you're like in, you're wet in a snow machine and like running around in like mud puddles and you're just like so cold. And she literally, I wrote, she's literally about to die.
Get her
like
to...
she's going to get hypothermia. She can't even like enjoy the moment because he hands her the thing and she's like,
they should have. They should have gotten those like thermal like aluminum blankets.
They should have. They should have had them. Well, I guess they can't compete in like a wetsuit because then it would take away the... But have like I would have asked for knee pads or something or elbow pads.
I know. Have you ever wore one
and
of those?
And a helmet. Knee pads?
No, the like aluminum blankets.
I think so. Like when I did cross country, like in high school, we had those one time after a race.
They're intense.
I love those.
So yeah, Daisy gets, she gets the MVP award. Everyone's like, yay. Because everyone knows that Daisy's like Brett's favorite.
Yeah. And Daisy's whole approach to this game, she was like, I have no choice, but I'm going to go hard and like, I'm going to win it for Brett. Like, I won't let anything get between us. And that means like running the football, I'm going to do it.
That sounds just like her.
I'm going to do this for Brett.
I'm like here for Brett and I love him and I will run the football if that's what it means. That's Listen, my man.
Daisy, like, I don't think Daisy really knew how to play football, which, like, fair, like, who fucking does? But she figured it out, and she was like, I know I have to catch the ball and run that
and
way.
Run.
And she did it, and she won.
Mm-hmm.
So they get back to the house, and Brett picks Daisy up for their date, and Daisy's waiting in the foyer in her outfit, and she's... She's like performatively nervous. Like I was like, this girl, she knows what she's doing. She's good. She's waiting in there, waiting for Brad. And she's going like that with her. She's biting her lip and kind of being like coy. And I just, it's so.
And like cupping her hands, like kind of being like, And I think Daisy, like, I love Daisy's whole attitude on this date. Cause I was just like, this is like, you're killing it. And also, what a sad date to be taken on, because in return for her literally almost freezing to death on a field in the valley, Daisy gets taken to a store called Foreplay, which just sells like lingerie and like
not even
lingerie-esque outfits.
It's like very it's very like Halloween costume, like sexy outfits. And
it's like everything costs like $10.
And like, why couldn't
it's polyester
you...
and like lycra.
And I was like, why didn't he take her to like get her like some sex toys that like would benefit her?
Or like take her to like La Perla. And
yeah.
Like, you're a fucking rock star. Don't you have millions of dollars? Like, go take her to like Asian
fuck?
Provocateur or whatever and like get her like beautiful lingerie.
Close down La Perla and like let her shop, or like maybe just take her to a
regular clothing store.
Yeah.
Take her to BB. I mean, like, she would like that. That's like mid-level.
It's not gonna
break the bank, but it's also not like, you know,
I don't think
it seems like she might like that.
It felt like she was kind of being a good sport, and like, it's all stuff that's like gonna benefit Brett. which is what I was like, why don't get her something that, like, if you're gonna do like the sexy thing, like, get her something that she chooses, like, take her somewhere, like, have her decide where she wants to go and then let her go wild.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Daisy also, like, her body is insane.
She looks great, but
can you imagine if I got taken to a store like that, and then I would just have an anxiety attack, like, kind of trying to come out in, like, short dresses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she plays it up and, like, does a great job. Like, she looks sexy as fuck.
At one point, she has a
fedora. In outfits that, like, would make anyone else look, they would immediately need to be 5150'd.
Yeah. She also has, like, she's wearing a fedora that's literally, like, a mask. It's like, it's so big on her and so down all the way on her face that, like, you only see, like, a little sliver of her face. Like, she looks like
Phantom, like, of the Opera.
Yeah, she's like this. She looks like that one.
Yeah, like, the outfits get weirder and weirder. Like, at first it's like a little schoolgirl skirt with, like, a G-string sticking out, and I was like, damn, she's hot. And then, like, the next one was like a tan, it looked like a sexy teddy bear skirt or something. I was like, that's weird, but, like, okay. Mm-hmm. Then she comes out in a full fedora and, like, a pinstriped vest, like, stomping out, and I was like, this is, like, but I don't even understand this. And Brett was like, that final outfit was a hook and a
yeah,
and a ooh, 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 like, making weird sounds, and I was like, you gotta go, sir.
Cheese ball, go home and, like, take care of yourself.
Yeah, just, like, go J-O and then, like, think of a date that's, like, nice for both people.
Yeah, it's so the like, the build-up that he needs and all this is just, it's like, oh god. And then we come back to the house, and Catherine and Peyton are talking on the patio smoking cigs, and I just love, like, the oldest women in the house just, like, being like, shit, well, what are we gonna do now? They're just both like, shit, like, we're running out of time, both of us. And Peyton just goes, I need more time.
And then we cut back to Brett and Daisy's date, and, like, I guess they end up at a restaurant or somewhere eating something or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Daisy is doing a really smart thing by asking Brett a lot of questions and trying to, like, get to know him. Like, any sort of, like, dating advice book that I've read that's, like, worth a shit is always, like, if you go, like, on the first date, you should ask as many questions as possible. And, like,
I know,
fully try and suss out who this person is. Like, you don't want to get asked questions and then you talk about yourself a long time. Like, you need to find out if you like this person and you're, like, interested in their vibe.
And I liked her questions. She was like, do you have any siblings? Like, she was, like, asking, like, legit human questions, and Brett was just like,
yeah. She's like, what do you like to do, like, for fun, like, blah blah blah, like, do you go to shows? And he's like, sometimes, like, not even, like, answering them and asking, like, the questions are off-putting, and he's bothered by it. And I wrote red flag,
just like, I wrote, he's boring and rude.
Yeah, if you're not down to play ball and just tell someone what you like,
yeah,
like, fuck you.
And he's like, he's going like, oh, in my head, I'm just thinking, he's just thinking about, I mean, it's the editing, obviously, they splice it in, but, like, I was just like, she's asking legit questions. Like, what is so bad about that? You just made her try
Daisy
on, you just took her to, like,
knows what
a
she
costume
wants
store.
And is, like, trying to find a rocker.
Yeah. Very sus. Back at the house, Peyton's like, Peyton's like, I really need to, like, get my one-on-one with Brett. She's like, I only have one group date with him. She's like, I really need to set the score. So she writes, like, a very alarming note and leaves it on Brett's door. And it just says, the note just says, Brett, it's Peyton. It's urgent. Please.
It says, Brett, it is urgent that I speak with you immediately. Please.
Please. Brett, it's urgent. Peyton.
Please.
Please let me be your rock of love. Please. Please.
Brett, it is urgent that I speak with you immediately. Please.
Brett, it's urgent that I speak with you immediately. I need to talk. Please! It's urgent! I'm going to make this short and sweet. It's urgent that I speak with you immediately. Please!
Please!
And so she like runs to the door, and then Megan just like saunters.
Stabs it on the door.
Megan also writes
she puts it on the door with like a dagger through it. Like a bloody dagger.
Like in Hook. It's like when Hook has the sword through the note.
The children were screaming.
Megan is in her room like writing like basically like like on a construction paper, like this like sweet little like note, and then she just see her song.
Megan's note, I like paused so I could see what she was saying, and hers was, Brett, can't wait to finally talk to you. It will have been worth the wait, but can't wait any longer. XOXOXO, kiss, 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 Megan. It will have been worth the wait, but can't wait any longer.
Yeah. Which arguably is just as insane as Peyton's note.
Also, like, if someone's writing you, like, a construction paper, like, baby note, I don't like that.
No, I don't either. Megan was annoying this episode.
I've kind of turned on Megan a little bit, just, like, I loved her. Love her on I Love Money, but she also is, like, really mean. And then watching her in her own show, I think part of the problem, too, on Megan Wants a Millionaire is that she's not an engaging, like, she can't carry that show.
No. It was doomed.
Like, it was, like, the ugliest guys ever and a murderer, but also, like, a very lackluster star. Yeah.
Megan needs to, like, bounce off other people who have better personalities for her to come through a little. So Megan is walking to Brett. She sees Peyton's note, and she just, like, takes... She goes, I saw that my grandmother wrote a note, so I took it off. She called Peyton her grandmother.
She goes, it looked like just chicken scratch handwriting written by Peyton. And I was like, that's rude.
Yeah.
So she removes her note, and then it cuts to Peyton, and she's like full-blown stressing outside.
Mm-hmm.
She's having a stress fest by an outdoor fireplace. And I was like, in that moment, I saw myself. I was like, I feel this. Like, I've been there. Mm-hmm. Like, just stressing out by the outdoor fire pit. I'm like, wondering what your next move's going to be.
She's like, so I wondered if my note was maybe a little too much. So I went back to check on it and maybe rewrite one. And then Peyton goes back to Brett's room, and the note is gone, and Megan's is up. And Peyton's like, so, like, she doesn't immediately, like, call Megan out. She's just like, oh, I saw my note was gone.
She's very nice about it.
Yeah, she's like way too nice to Megan about it. But it just shows that she's like so mature.
Yeah. And Megan just plays dumb and is like, what? Your note? I only saw my note. Is my note up there? And then Peyton goes back and writes another note, which I actually didn't see what that one says, but it seemed just as urgent. The vibe seemed about the same.
Yeah, she confronts Megan on the staircase, and you just see, and Peyton just goes, did you see my note on the door? Like, she's trying not to start anything, and Megan's like, mm-hmm. plays dumb, and then she goes, yeah, I thought so, and she just walks down.
She puts another note, and she's like, this time I folded it up and put it in the door, because I don't want anything to happen to it. And then Megan goes down and just takes the note out of the door and hides it again.
Insane.
Poor Peyton cannot catch a break.
Daisy and Brett come back, and Catherine like immediately goes to Brett, and she's like, do you think I could just get 5 minutes alone with you, Brett? And he's like, yeah, sure. And Daisy calls Catherine Peggy Bundy.
She does kind of look like Peggy Bundy, but I think that aesthetic is really working for her. That's something that I like about her.
She's the literal love witch.
Yeah.
So Catherine and Brett are like talking, and she's like, I feel like we have a connection. Do you, Brett? And he's like, yeah, I feel like we have a connection. And then they start like passionately making out, and then Daisy comes in to the room. And I wrote, Daisy's annoying.
Well, I felt for Daisy in this moment because, like, she just had this date with Brett. She's, like,
did
everything in her fucking power to get this date. And then she's hopeful that, like, what's going to happen is that the end of their date will end with them like fucking, or at least like getting to spend time in bed together, like cuddle.
Yeah,
and then
true.
Immediately, as soon as he gets home, he goes with Catherine and like won't let Daisy into the room and just basically ices her out.
Yeah. He's like, could you just give me like 5 more minutes? You see Daisy's little head. I understood.
No.
It was like, I would be annoyed by if I was Catherine. Cause like, here you
She's
are.
Intent. Well, Catherine goes, I earned this, bitch. Back off, bitch.
So we cut to the next day. It's the group date, and Brett takes the girls to a fucking race. Like, do something else. Take them to like Six Flags or like Knott's Berry Farm or something. Can we do something? Or like the boardwalk? Can we do something that's not like motocross or like in the desert? Like, and not even like the fun desert, like just the nothing desert where there's like no civilization except a racetrack.
Like Rancho Cucamonga.
Where it just looks like they're cold and like it's windy and like sand is like, can we just take them somewhere that's not like this?
I love, what a fun date. I'm going to stand here on a dusty racetrack while you drive a car in circles around on it.
Yeah.
And like, the best though, I don't know if you caught like the tail, the last little like part of the episode, like when the credits run and it was showing all the girls like waiting around on the track and you just hear a car being like, and they're like making small talk.
Yeah.
Being like, is Brett, is that him? And then he drives up and he can't get out of the car and his ass comes out of his jeans.
So Brett's going to have them just race Lotus cars.
They're not even racing. They're just driving them. He's like, I'm going to give them the opportunity of a lifetime. Blah. Like, drive this hideous fucking... Lotuses are gross.
I don't even know what the fuck
and
it was.
And it's yellow. Ugh.
I kind of blacked out this whole scene. Basically, they just, like, drive around. Christy Joe, like, her car breaks down. And she's like, wah! And Brett, like, is like, I'll take it back. We don't trust you to drive this thing.
Well, Inna can't even drive a stick shift. Me neither. I would have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. Be like, fun date. This was great.
So they get back and they have like a little picnic and you just, in the background, you just hear, and they're just talking.
And Brett starts drama again.
He does.
He's like a regular lady who lunches. Mm-hmm. His whole vibe is like, let's go out to lunch and I'm going to talk shit about everyone.
Yeah. He starts shitting on everyone.
And then Christy Joe brings up her fucking restraining order. Like, can a day go by without Christy Joe talking about her restraining orders?
I know. I was like, Christy, stop. Like, just, it's not going to end. He's not going to take it in stride or like approach it with like nuance or rationale or maturity. He's going to be like, cock block. So like,
also if you find yourself on a date having to explain, like feeling like you need to off the bat lead with the two restraining orders that have happened in your past two most recent relationships, you probably should reconsider being on a date at all and think about being single for a while.
Yeah, I think Christy Joe needs to really go home.
Dating more is not the answer when you just have a history of like dating with restraining orders.
Christy Joe, you know, in my belief, if I were her, I would leave, go home, spend time with my kid, go to SLA, and
unpack those boxes,
go to SLAA meetings and therapy and be single and like hang with my kid and friends and family for a while. That's what I would do.
Yeah, like I would unpack the boxes, I would go to Container Store and like see what they have and like try and organize my life and like,
yeah, home edit your life, honey.
Set up the way I want. Yeah, and then like be single for at least like 6 months to a year, invest in a great vibrator, and like then revisit after slaw and therapy and maybe date, like slowly date.
Yeah.
But no, she's like, I'm actually going to go for this like aged rock star and regale him with stories about my restraining order relationships.
Multiple.
It's so one thing to have one restraining order. It's a whole other thing to have two consecutive restraining orders.
And then to like bring it up like it's LOL. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm like, honey, no.
We get back to the house and Peyton like finally nabs Brett and she's like, can I just get some one-on-one time with you, Brett? Just a little chat. And they go into his room and...
She's waiting for him, just sitting on a bench, like staring straight ahead. And Jessica comes over and is like, hey, Peyton, like, what are you doing? And she is like, I've just got to get some alone time with Brett. And then Jessica goes, okay, I'll let you focus on that. And like walks away. Peyton's lost all chill.
She has. She basically, like, starts crying like almost immediately. She's like, when I finally sat down with Brett, I was just overcome with emotion. And her makeup, her like mascara is running. It's very Lauren Conrad with the mascara running. And I was just like, no, I go, Peyton, stop. Peyton,
and, you gotta get it goes, together, girl.
She just flat out goes, she goes, I just need to know, are you attracted to me? And Brett was like, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. And I was like, oh, no.
No, 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 no. You can't ask mid-cry face with, like, your mascara. Like, when it's just you're not setting yourself up for success being like, are you attracted to me?
No. I felt really bad.
Like, this is, like, psychologically damaging her at this point.
Yeah.
But Brett also doesn't he doesn't answer her question, really.
No, of course he doesn't, because that's not what Brett
like
does.
He goes, yeah, he's like, won't tell her one way or the other. And all he said, he was like, you know, I will try not to cross the line of friendship. We can be rocker buddies, and because if I did cross the line, then we'd just be friends who fuck. So he's basically saying, like, I'd fuck you, but, like, I wouldn't be in a relationship with you. Like, I'm attracted enough to, like,
be rock fuck out
you
buddies
a few times. Yeah, be rock out buddies, and I'll try not to fuck you.
I would.
But if I do, like, we, my, like, it's like, so, I'm just,
I
like,
would, if I heard you, that, bro. I would be like, all I need to know, and I would leave. Right?
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, cool. If some guy goes, if you ask someone, hey, are you attracted to me? And they go, don't take this the wrong way. The answer is no.
Yeah.
And like any guy will fuck anyone. Like guys will fuck anything at least once, even if they're not attracted to you.
Yeah. Poor Peyton.
Poor Peyton. Peyton's better than this.
She is better than this.
She's a fucking songwriter. She's a fucking star.
So we get to the elimination ceremony, and he starts picking like the people that we would expect him to pick. At one point, he's like, this girl took the time to write me a note. Blah, blah, and I was like, oh, he's going to say Peyton, and he picked Megan. She was really thoughtful.
Every time he says anything nice, it like cuts to Peyton and she's doing like a 1,000-yard stare. Like she has cracked wide open. She's not having it.
Megan goes, haha, he picked me and not my grandmother. Mean.
Shut up, Megan.
Shut up, Megan. He picks Catherine and she walks towards him like a literal fembot. She's like,
She goes, when Brett calls my name, I don't even know what he said before calling my name. All I can think is, thank God. And I was like, okay, I'm glad to see Catherine live another day.
Yeah.
And then he puts Daisy and Peyton in the bottom two. And I was literally like, Daisy's like starting to like shake again. Like she cannot.
She's
like,
back on the field in the valley.
Yeah, she's having a flashback of mud bowl, mm-hmm. and she's like basically starting to cry. And it's like, how is this possible? Like, what the fuck? And I just thought, like, to myself, I was like, this is some sort of sick power move that, like, they really have connected. He really likes her. Mm-hmm. And then he calls Peyton, and it cuts to Amber's face, and she goes,
yep, oh. Amber's face is in this. She's always like this.
She mouths, oh my God.
He picks
and I was shocked. Oh my God.
I did too. I wrote, Peyton gets picked. Wow, shocked.
And I was like, because I don't remember how shit like shook out. And yeah. I was like, I didn't think Daisy got eliminated this early. Like, what? Like, yeah, this is crazy.
I was like, and then, so shocked by this.
Yeah, it was out of control. And then Brett is like, Daisy, come down here. And she literally is like, shakes and shivers her way down there. She's like about to go into like seizure coma. Yeah. Like, she cannot, like, you can't do this to little She's Daisy. Like,
and she's like shivering, like,
like, this is actually like fucking with her, like, like, this is not good for her, like, physically, spiritually, no. Emotionally. Like, it's putting her body through, like, the cortisol levels are, like, have skyrocketed. It's shaved at least a year off of Daisy's life.
She had to go on a solo date with you, Brett. Like, that's, she deserves a fucking medal. So.
Yeah.
And then Brett's like, basically, he's like, I saved the best for last. Gonna shock all these girls and show them that Daisy's my best for last. And then. So it was all like a power play on all the other girls and on Daisy at once. It was very strange.
Yeah, he goes, I've never done this before. I'm breaking all the rules.
And he doesn't send anyone home.
Yeah.
And Daisy's he, like, Daisy's like when he says, will you stay here and rock my world? She goes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like the sexual tension buildup and release in that moment, like I felt it through the screen. And
yeah.
This is like what it would be like to date Brett, where you're just constantly, you never know where you stand. You think that he's gonna like drop you and you're just like stressing and sad only to have him be like, you're my best girl. And then you're like, like, it would just be constantly up and down like that. That's my takeaway.
That's what narcissists do.
Yeah.
They neg you until you're like almost like subterranean. You feel so low.
Suicidal.
And then they're like, actually, you're the fucking light of my life. And you're like, oh, thank you. Oh my God. And then you're like in like the stratosphere.
Yeah. I was just like, damn, Daisy, you got to get out of here.
Yeah, they all have to get out of there. Peyton needs to go.
They all need to go.
I want
to
go like drive and pick Peyton up and be like, we're getting you out of here.
You're like, Peyton, here's a cig. Smoke it.
I want to make this short and sweet. You got to get out of here now, Peyton. I'm coming in tomorrow night when the moon is high.
I'll grab your guitar. You grab your sheet music. We're going to get out of here, Peyton. We're going to go to a better place, a nicer place, a place where people respect you.
We're going to go to Chicago.
I love that you are obsessed with taking these girls to Chicago.
I am.
It feels like a safe place.
I know. I feel like they're all from Chicago, so it's like, we're going to take you back to where you belong.
I would take Peyton to the stew and have her like channel all her feelings into like a kick-ass record.
Yeah.
I would make Peyton would be like country strong.
Yeah. You're going on tour. What if that's that Peyton gets booted and then someone picks her up and they're like, actually, Peyton, you're going on a world tour. And she's like, oh.
She's like, wow, this is beyond my wildest dreams. I never knew this could happen, but now my dreams have come true.
Wow. And they're like, and by world tour, I mean,
like, doo-doo-doo. What?
And by world tour, I mean 7 dates in the U.S. and 2 dates in Canada. She's like, hey, that's it. We're international, baby. We're going global.
Opening the Idaho State Fair, 12 p.m. on the second stage.
I'm on the second stage, Idaho State Fair. We're doing this.
You're on the last day of Stagecoach Festival, 12
speaking
p.m.
Speaking of Peyton / Peyton adjacent, next episode, we get our queen back. Rodeo comes
Heather?
Back.
Oh my God.
Rodeo's rocking
God.
Rodeo. Rodeo is coming back to facilitate a challenge that involves horses. So I hope everyone's fucking ready.
I'm so ready. I miss Rodeo so much. She's actually one of the best follows. She is a great follow on the gram. She's great on I Love Money
She's
season.
Absolutely unhinged. Guys, she's
I think
fully,
she's season one, Island Bunny. She's lost it.
She's lost the plot. She's fully fucking like Trump supporter.
She happens to have some political beliefs that don't align with mine, but like I'm also here for her journey. It's just like she's trying to get her real estate license and she's
okay.
just doing the damn thing.
I'm here for her. I'm here for the photos where she's like getting out of a car and going into like a private plane.
Mm-hmm.
And like a hangar, but she's truly like Q.
Her political beliefs are questionable. I don't know if she's Q. It remains to be seen if she's a cutie or not. I don't think she cooed.
Anyway, Rodeo's coming back, so just get ready for some like wheezy laugh hijinks on a horse. And she's wearing her and guys, she's wearing her hat. That's why I wear my hat.
In the past 10 years, through every up and down of Rodeo's life, the one thing she has never done is stopped wearing her hat. To this day,
style.
She wears her hat. LA style.
We'll
baby.
Take the kids out. LA style. I want to go pick up the kids.
Just me and the kids.
We'll pick the kids up.
The
together.
Children.
What? I still feel like where I was when I first heard that song, watching mm-hmm. and just being like, wait, what is happening?
What's interesting is like Peyton is kind of the Rodeo of this season, like both like a strong country girl who just gets cracked by this house of rock, mm-hmm. like can't handle it, like their spirit is not meant for this world.
Yeah,
and I love that about them.
Yeah. Just like a woman who's like in her 40s and like maybe has lived life and, you know, is looking for like the next chapter of her life. And then suddenly being like in this situation with like just in a basically a circus and just seeing her like try to adapt and then be like, I'm out of my league, or like I'm out of my comfort zone here.
Yeah, passionate, talented women
being forced,
being put into
the rat race that they don't need to be in, that they've like it's
no.
like they've already put in their time.
I know, and they're actually better than Brett.
Yeah,
I mean everyone is better than Brett. Like literally, Brett is the lowest of the low.
But. Anyway,
try telling that to these girls. They ain't listening. Anywho, guys, that's all for right now, but we'll be back.
We shall be back
with a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City recap tomorrow. So tune back in.
And I hope
put
everyone
your hats on and tune
put your hats, her hats on and come back and stay a while. You can follow Lara at Lars Marie.
You can follow Carrie at eCarrieHo.
You can follow me at LA Style.
What if we podcasted just in like rodeo desperation voice?
Or what if we changed our podcast to LA Style?
LA Style.
We'll go out in the town LA Style with the kids.
We're like, hey, welcome back to another episode of LA Style. Today we're going to talk about Sex and the City.
And the
I really hope that they make it. That show's really why I wear my hat. It's and I just need them to make it with Kim Cattrall. Please. That's why I wear my hat.
Kids love me.
Kids love me. Kids love Sex and the City. They want to see it with all the girls. Kids don't understand.
Kids love watching Sex and the City on Sunday nights in secret.
On Sunday nights, I just snuck it all the time. It was a way for me to have a window into an alternate universe. It felt different from Oklahoma. Would you listen to our LA style podcast where we literally plead with you?
Let us
the
know.
Entire hour. Let us know. sexypodcast@gmail.com is where you can write us. We read emails and messages on the bonus episodes. Those are on Patreon. Find that at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
And stay safe out there. Stay healthy and, you know, check in with your loved ones.
Yeah. Call your parents and say, hey.
That's all for today, folks.
Love and light.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.